Hadley did a great job reading this morning, and I directed her to stop at verse 27, and that was my mistake because we actually go a little further. Paya, can you go back to Mark 3, the end of it at... This is going to be starting at 28. Or you can read along in your Bibles, page 35 in the New Testament, or listen for the word. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins, and whoever blasphemes they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never be forgiven, can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin, for they have said he has an unclean spirit. Then Jesus' mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to Jesus, your mother and your brother and your sisters are outside asking for you. And Jesus replied, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Think about that tableau for a moment. Think about that picture that got painted out of Mark here. Here's a crowd. Everybody's there. The whole town has come out to see him. I mean, it was massive turn. And that was historically, we know that the crowd sought Jesus. In one of the other passages, we hear that there are so many people, he has to get in a boat and stand off from shore so that he can use it as a wayside pulpit because there's so many people coming. Some are coming to be healed. How many of us, I have this bulged disc in my back. I would be going to see Jesus. Some of us have had cataract surgery recently. We would be going to see Jesus to get healed. Anybody else have any infirmities, any aches or pains? Or who doesn't? We're coming of that age, aren't we? So everybody is out there, and some people that are coming, they're just coming because the crowd is there. Everybody's going. Well, let's go see what they're, let's go follow the crowd. Let's go see what's going on. Looky-loos, the police call them. Some are responding to the good news. Jesus has offered up some interesting news, and they're intrigued. There are also church officials, the scribes and others, the learned ones. You recall that not many people were literate in that age. Jesus is a rare one in that respect. He knows how to read and write. And the scribes are there, and they're checking him to see what he's saying and disputing him. And because he's speaking way outside of anything they've ever heard, they're exposing him as a fake. And so the people wish to expose, some of them wish to expose Jesus and call him a fraud. There were plenty of those that were going on. But he is inside in a building there, and it's crowded, and people are there, and he's talking to them, and he is saying something to them that is so important, they completely forget that they've missed lunch. There was not even room to eat. Now, the term is, Jesus went home, and the crowd came together. That's what the normal translation is. But we need to challenge that just a little bit, because his family heard that Jesus was having issues, and they went out to restrain him. So they left home to go to Jesus, so Jesus was not at that home. Does that make sense? He left one home to their left their home, family home. Could be that Jesus had his own place. Maybe he'd moved out and, gotten his own place by then. But at any rate, he's in a house, not necessarily his home. And his family comes because they've heard that he's crazy, that he's out of his mind, and they're coming to restrain him. Why did they think he was out of his mind? You know, I the first time I read that, I actually stopped and backed up and read that passage again, and there was no sense in there that he had done something or said something that people thought was, you know, or didn't appear to be. He was sharing stuff that we've heard before. But we've heard what Jesus was saying, and we've heard those messages since our birth. And to the people in Jesus' time, they were not usual things. They were amazing, incredible, radical, crazy talk. Jesus had to be nuts to say some of the things he was saying. You have to go back 2 millennia ago, back in Jesus' time, it was dog eat dog. If you were strong enough to subdue your neighbor, you did, and you took their property, and might was right. If you were able to defraud someone of something and trick them out of it, better for you. You were shrewd. There was no compassion for people that were hurting. If you had money, you had money, and you had riches because God had blessed you, and you didn't need to share it. Those who didn't have money, well, God was mad at them. And if you were ill, it was because you were sinful. You see, when there was healings, they were healings of spirit to physically fix the body because those ailments were from your being bad. And so here comes Jesus, and he says, love your neighbor. This is crazy talk. This is bizarre stuff that just for them would have been outrageous. For us, it doesn't seem as much because we are a transformed nation. You have to think about that a minute. We are a Christian nation. This nation is based on Christian morality, ethos, you know, and it is from that Christian perspective that we see, that we've learned, and that we have grown up. We are not a perfect nation, I know. I pray we are getting there. I hope that we are moving on to perfection. I hope that we're gradually making progress, but we have some basic things that we believe in our daily lives as this nation today. Things like compassion and generosity, inclusion and love and sharing. Those were not things that people in Jesus' time would have any concept of or would understand. People talking like that, they would be crazy. In fact, there's a sound that helps us understand. Do you have this sound? Technical glitch there. You might. There we go. Okay. How many of you recognize that? I didn't either. That's the sound of a loon. Do you want to hear it again? We were testing the sound system earlier. And poor Barbara came, she says, is there a creature in here that's wounded? You're right, that's exactly what it sounded like. Is that where they got the term loony? I don't know. That's what took me down this path, you understand. You've heard of people who are loony. I had some relatives that were loony. And it has a specific meaning. Now, if you're a Canadian, loony means something else. Do you know what a loony is to Canadians? It's a dollar. And they have loonies and they have toonies. Do you know what a toonie is? It's a $2 coin. Now you know much about Canadians as I do. Loony, though, was nuts, crazy, out of their minds. The term in the New Testament Greek, existemi. Anybody familiar with that? Know that one? All right. I could have told you anything, couldn't I? Trust me, that's the word they're using, and it means astonished or amazed or out of one's mind. Just completely undone. There was on the news last night, it just dawned on me, there was a fellow they were interviewing. Did you hear about that plane that crashed in Arvada, hit the street, and prayers for that family that was in there? But the guy that's whose house it was, he says, I can't even describe what I thought when I came out here. He says, it was just, and he had no words. Exist to me. It was beyond comprehension. And that's what Jesus' message was. It was so far beyond people, they couldn't comprehend it. Think about that. Think about some of the things. He said, if someone strikes you, turn the other cheek. That's just outrageous. That's one we still haven't really gotten today. That's still one that we don't do well with. Our animalistic nature is fight or flight. We're gonna respond if we're struck. Right now in Israel and Palestine, terrible battles going on, terrible war, terrible situation. But do you know something? If they would all pause and follow Christ's directives, they could resolve that. If the Jews from their hearts began to reach into the West Bank, into Gaza, and care for those people, authentic, loving, provide shelter, provide health, provide doctors, provide care. And if the Palestinians in their hearts could begin to see the Jews as brothers and sisters, that situation would resolve. That's a crazy idea, isn't it? That's not possible. That's exist to me. That's out of our mind. That's how radical Jesus was and how he was talking. So society today, we might say that we've grown in Christ. I think we have a way to go. Amen? So his family's outside. And I love this image. And that's why when poor Hadley, I messed her up with the scripture. Mea culpa, kiddo. That family is out there. And we hear that he has siblings. It's one of the few places we hear about that. He has his mother's out there with brothers and sisters. Golly, I'd like to know more about them. I'd love to know who his brothers were and his sisters. And maybe they had kiddos, so he had nephews and nieces. How would you be like to be the nephew of Jesus? Boy, would you have some living up to do. But just think a moment about that reality of his family, and they're all out there, and how exciting. I always have to pause and wonder what happened to Joseph. We don't have any mention of him after the birth narratives, and there is no historical record. There's no way of knowing what and why, where, what happened. But somehow he isn't in the picture. It's mother and siblings, and they're all there. And think a moment about Joseph, too, and just give thanks to Dad. Father's Day is coming, and I don't know about you, but I miss my dad. At any rate, we go on. And the family comes, it's so crowded they can't even get in. They're trying to come and save him because he's out of his mind. They're trying to get in to him, but they can't even get into this house where he is. It's that crowded with the people who are listening. And so the word passes in. Your mother and your brothers are outside. Have you ever been somewhere and been surprised by family? Or someone that, as a pastor, I've served other churches, and occasionally someone will visit from a previous church. And that's both good news and bad news. I love seeing people that I've known before and getting to catch up and all that. But our brains don't store the names up here, or mine doesn't. And so I'll see them. I can tell you all about them. I can tell you where the house they live. I could drive you to their house. I could tell you about their kids. I could tell you about what they do for a living. But their names, no idea. So if ever we come across each other and you see me and I see you and say hi, and I cannot say your name, please understand, it's me. It's just the way things are. Are anybody else like that? You see somebody out of their place and you're just completely lost. I'm glad I'm not the only one that exists to me out of my mind. But his mother and his siblings are outside and they tell him. And instead of standing up and getting, oh, Mom, let me go talk to me. Whoever it does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. Boy, he really nails it down. Now, he's not rejecting family, but he's opening family. Those inside the room with him, many of them could say they become family because he's reframed it, you understand. It's a crazy idea that your family would change to other people, and especially in that lineage, in the Jewish, the lineage was incredibly important. Who was the father and the father of and the father of, and your lineage meant everything. And here he's saying, no. It is your connection to me and my connection to you. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. Crazy and crazy that he says that to us. We do the will of God and we are part of Christ's family. Do we want to play the loon sound again for the looniness of that idea? Compassion, love, care, the will of God, the family of Christ. Amen.